Oh boy, I never heard that before. First time. Well, good evening, everybody. A good Erev Shabbos, Parshas B'halosa, 2021. That's the year we are in. What worries you most when thinking about your children's and grandchildren's future? This is the exact question that Robert Emmons, one of the world's leading scientific experts on gratitude and a professor at the University of California, asked parents in a survey. In a world riddled with so many problems, we can only imagine what list they came up with. However, to the surprise of many, and I'm assuming many in this room as well, the majority of parents didn't name drugs, sex, global warming, political crisis, or the economic future. Rather, two-thirds, 66% of parents said their primary concern about their kids' long-term ability for success and happiness was their profound sense of entitlement. Many children and young adults these days harbor deep-seated belief that they inherently deserve favors, special treatment, or benefits when little or nothing has been done to actually deserve such advantages. And the truth is, parents are right to worry. Research has shown that a sense of entitlement breeds a number of negative qualities: envy, resentment, selfishness, greed, petulant indignation, laziness, detachment, and a lack of resilience. Entitlement can be caused in part by kids being given too much too easily and being spoiled without having to work for their largesse. However, the malady of entitlement isn't limited to socioeconomic status. There are children from financially challenged homes who feel entitled, and children from wealthy homes whose parents have managed to instill in their children a healthier perspective. Because much of it had little to do with what they were given, but rather how they were given it. The essential factor in whether a child may be plagued by entitlement is thus not how much a child has, but rather his attitude toward what he or she has. Originally, in the beginnings of the formings of the Jewish people, the individual, the group of people who were to be granted the lofty right to serve in the temple in the Beit HaMikdash was to be the Bechorim, the firstborns. However, over time, the Bechorim lost that right and privilege. And in this week's Torah portion, we are informed of the process whereby the Kedusha, the sanctity of the firstborns, was passed down to their replacement and successors, the Levim, the tribe of Levi. And when one takes a close look at the process of the transference of Kedusha, a major component of it, on the one hand, is very familiar, and on the other, seems very out of place. The ritual to which we are referring, of course, is the Tiglachas. Translating Tiglachas as haircut would be vastly underselling what actually took place. The Tiglachas was a complete shaving of the person. Every single Levi had to undergo a complete body shave from head to toe in order to be anointed for her service in the temple. This rather bizarre ritual is, of course, familiar as the Metzora, the individual afflicted with Tzaraat, who we read about a few weeks ago. The spiritual malady, caused for most part due to hubris and haughtiness, had to undergo a similar full body shave prior to completing their purification and readmittance into society. So Rashi, the 11th century French medieval commentary, notes the connection between the two and says as follows: Lefi shenasnu kapara al bechoros, she'avdu avodah zara, V'hi keruya ziv chemesim, hiskikum ha-Torah tiglachas kemitzorayim. Since the firstborns required atonement for their part in the Echeda Ego, the sin of the golden calf, therefore, they must undergo the body shaving, just like the Mitzorah, who suffers a result of his sin as well. Just like a Mitzorah, so to the firstborn. The problem is that these two examples of the body shaving don't seem to match at all. When it comes to the Mitzorah, it is the individual who has sins and has the tzaras is the one who requires the tiglachas, the body shaving. However, in this scenario, when it comes to the kedusha being transferred, the firstborn sinned, yet it is the Levim who must undergo the tiglachas. Why should the Levim require atonement for something the firstborns had done? Perhaps we can answer this quandary with a keen insight from Rabbi Isaac ben Moses Arama, the 15th century Spanish Torah scholar, philosopher, and Kabbalist, found in his magnum opus and commentary on the Torah, Akedat Yitzchak. Rabbi Arama explains that when Jacob, our forefather, made sure to secure the Bechora, the birthright, from his elder brother Esav, it is tempting to view the struggle as a personal one. Yaakov had an evil, twisted older brother, and therefore he felt personally entitled to the birthright of his righteous father. However, when you zoom out of this one narrative and look at Yaakov's life in its entirety, you will see that this is hardly an isolated incident of personal entitlement. Rather, it fits a pattern representing a deeper philosophy that Yaakov was trying to instill within his children and family. Just a generation later, Yaakov, to unfortunately disastrous consequences, decided that instead of granting leadership to his own Bechor, his own firstborn son Reuven, instead he endowed it upon Joseph, one of his youngest children. And then again, a generation later, when faced with Yosef's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, Yaakov again flips the order and grants the birthright blessing, so to speak, to the younger sibling, Ephraim. What was Yaakov doing? What was his intent? What was his goal? Apparently, Yaakov wasn't simply interested in removing the Bechorah from Esav. Rather, Yaakov was opposed to the entire idea of a Bechor being automatically entitled to being the eldest, so to speak, of the family. Being eldest did not necessarily make one qualified and deserving of the birthright. Yaakov believed that a person has to earn his stripes. There will always be certain advantages to being a Bechor, but authority and privilege shall only be granted to those who earn it on their own, not because of the way they happened to be born. Yaakov had a dream that he and his children should merit to live in a world where they'll not be judged by the order of their birth or any other superficial factor, but by the content of their character. Yaakov had a dream where society valued merit and hard work, not entitlement. A world where one has to earn what they have. They have to fairly earn their leadership roles. And if one fails to live up to the values of what it means to be a leader, then one can rightfully be stripped of that position. One might have thought that the transfer of the Kedusha from the Levim, from the Bechorim to the Levim, reflected a transfer of entitlement. The Levim are being made inherently better than the rest of the Jewish people. They are inherently deserving of better treatment because of the way they were born. And to this, God loudly proclaims, heaven forbid! Heaven forbid to allow such an antithetical belief to Judaism to fester in our families, our communities, and society. Unless the Levim think that they are now entitled to earn special treatment, regardless of what they do to earn it, the Torah demanded a tiglachas, a full body shaving to remind the Levim that to date they have done no wrong. But should they prove unworthy, their leadership will come to an end. If they fail to earn their stripes, then they can and will lose their exalted position within the Jewish people. Tanakh is replete with individuals in leadership roles who were stripped of their positions due to them failing to live up to the expectations of being in that role. None less famous than Shaul HaMelech, the first king of the Jewish people, who was demoted and dethroned by God himself after failing to fulfill his royal duties and responsibilities to the Jewish people. Leadership, privilege, opportunities, merits should be earned in life, not handed over on a silver platter or exclusively granted to the few as a result or function of the way they were born. This is the vision. This is the dream that Jacob had so many years prior. And these are the values that we hope and pray to instill not only within ourselves or our children or our grandchildren, but within society as a whole. This is the values we pray to be lived by in the world around us. Wishing everyone a wonderful, meaningful, and restful Shabbos.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you, Yeshua.